is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Afternoon. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 176 of Within the Trenches, a podcast based on the experience of being a 911 dispatcher. So I have been here for a few days in St. Louis, Missouri, and it has been an excellent time. I did my keynote yesterday. It was badass. I had an excellent applause and such when I very first started it, because I said, let's get this shit started. And everybody was like, oh, yeah, let's go. And one person even said to me, he's one of us. And I thought, hell yeah, that's awesome. Now, I am currently recording live in the Union Station Hotel, St. Louis, Missouri, for this conference for the MPSCC. And you might be able to hear a bunch of stuff in the background. There are people moving around and closing up shop. I didn't think they were going to be closing up their tables that fast, but if you hear it in the background, oh well, we're going to have a good time. So I have my guest that I'm going to talk about here in just one moment, but I have to make sure to say that this is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services, and I cannot thank both APCO and Nina for Missouri here for having me. It was a great opportunity, great time. And my guests today are Ashley and Jen, and they are supervisors, as they both told me in unison a few moments ago. They are supervisors with Stone County Emergency Services. How's it going?
Yes, going good. Glad to be here.
All right, excellent. So, you know, how has it been for you since when did you guys arrive? Because it's Tuesday now, but some people got here Sunday.
We got here Sunday.
Sunday around 5:30-ish.
And was it a drive for you? Because it was about 5.5 hours for me, but I was coming from Indiana, so.
Four and a half. Yeah. Give or take a little.
Wasn't too bad.
All right. Well, that's good. So did you drive together, or were you with a big group?
No, it was just us.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to say.
I played DJ. She was the driver.
Nice. Yeah, so you were sitting there riding shotgun, just going, wicka, wicka, wicka.
Yeah. We were switching it up quite a bit. Country, you know, pop.
Nice.
Hip-hop, whatever, you know.
What rap were you listening to?
Does Eminem still count as rap?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay.
We had some
cool
shady going on.
Nice. Very nice. My name is.
She surprised me a little bit with the lyrics that she knew. She's my country gen.
My little white girl rapper going on.
Nice. You're gonna bust out some lyrics?
No, not now.
Oh man, that's messed up.
I need some jams. If we can pull it up, I'll see.
Okay. How about if I just go?
I can't freestyle. I can't pass it. I failed.
Oh man. Well, hey, you know, A for effort or whichever.
But your beats are good.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I try. So, how long have you guys been dispatching?
I've been there in general. Stone County is my first dispatching. Four and a half years now.
4.5 years. Nice.
7 years, March 31st. So I'm coming up on my anniversary.
Yay. Nice.
A year and a half of a supervisor. So it's been fun. Kind of stressful at times, obviously.
Of course.
The whole job. But yeah, I love it.
Can't do anything else now.
No, I mean, yeah, that's honestly, like, after being with one agency for so long, I don't think I could picture myself dispatching for another agency, you know? It's just like,
it'd be like you're cheating on your,
yes,
on your agency.
Yeah. You're just so used to, like, your people and how you do things, and, like, you know the job, the job is your heart, you know?
Oh,
but it's just like going to another agency where everything's so different, just having to relearn everything over again. I'm just like,
right.
Creature of habit, so.
I think we all are.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's like that with everybody in this profession.
Yeah.
So how did you get into dispatching, Ashley?
Actually, funny story. My ex-husband's, one of his good friends that he worked with, his girlfriend, Amy, came over to our house one night. It was like 11 o'clock. I think she worked like a 3 to 11 shift. Mm-hmm. And she had on like a bright pink shirt with like neon green shorts, and she was like, I'm sorry, I look a mess, I just got off work. I'm like, where do you work that you get a dress like that? Like, you know, like, I want a job like that. And right. So she just started telling me about, you know, that she was a 911 dispatcher. And I immediately was like, I want to know about this. Like, yeah. What? Because I never knew about 911 or how it worked, or when you call 911, where does your call go? You know,
right.
Who
yeah,
answers
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
What happens? You know? So she was just telling me about, you know, you just walk in and apply. There's no schooling needed. You know, they do on the job training. They send you off for classes, you know, certifications and all that. And I was like, I want to apply. And she's like, we're actually really shorthanded right now. So awesome. Go up there, put in your application, talk to, you know, Bobby, and, you know, go from there, see what happens. So I put in my application, did the test, and probably like a month later, they called me in for an interview, and
damn.
They didn't call me back right away. So I was like, I didn't get the job, you know? And then I was actually working at Country Mart customer service, and Amy came in and was like, we're drowning. Like, we need help so bad. Like, I'm going to talk to Bobby again and try and get you in there. So I went in and they hired me, like, gave me a start date and everything. And
This was all based on the way she was dressed?
Yes. Well,
that's awesome.
And it sounds stupid and it sounds crazy, but it's just
completely different from what anyone has ever said before. That's why I'm saying.
But yeah, they get to wear, you know, they got to wear flip-flops and, you know, just the relaxed wardrobe. And
right,
I'm
yeah.
like, I'm wearing, like, slacks and a polo shirt, you know, and so I was like, wow, where do you work at that you get a dress like
hey,
that?
You,
like,
you have to be that relaxed to take all the shit that comes into 911.
Oh, no joke. No kidding.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How about you, Jen? How did you get your start?
Mine was kind of on a whim, too, through a friend, different friend. But we were out having some drinks and talking about my old job. I used to do customer service at Whitewater, Branson. The multitasking and the angry cussing people all the time. And she was like, hey, you sound like what I do. You should come check out us. So I applied and they called and here we are.
Damn. So, I mean, so you were kind of training yourself already to get into the position that you are. So what was it like for you, either one of you, when you first started? I mean, was it overwhelming? Because you didn't have any public safety experience to
or
begin
knowledge.
With,
right?
Right. Okay.
No experience
right.
Whatsoever.
So then you go in fully green and you've got to learn, you know, all the CAD stuff. You've got all these monitors and everything, probably a few different keyboards and mice that you're working with, and you're trying to multitask. But and when you get in there, because I know it was the same for me that when I got in there, you know, I would see everybody doing all this crazy stuff. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. That's a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
And I mean, I even had experience before already going to Allegan. Well, if you guys were there, you heard my story. But, you know, it was just me in the police department for 8 hours by myself. But seeing them just multitask like crazy, it was a little overwhelming for me. So what was it like for you, Ashley?
I remember my first shift was, I started out on overnights, and it was a 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., which I had never worked an overnight job before. So I was already like, how am I going to stay awake? You know, like, what am I, but I was excited. So I was determined that no matter what, you know, I wasn't going to show how tired I was. But I walked in and I was intimidated by what they were doing, things I was hearing, the four computer monitors, you know, like, holy crap, this is a lot of stuff to take in. But I'd actually done a sit-in with Amy a little bit before that. I think it's just the fact that I was going to be doing this very soon
yeah.
was what was so intimidating about the whole thing. But yeah, I was just like, my heart was racing. I was just like, oh my gosh, I want to do this so bad, but it's just, there's so much to learn. Like I was just nervous that I wasn't going to get it all, but
yeah. And, you know, and it's cool too that, you know, more dispatch centers now, I believe, are doing, you know, sit along so
yeah.
that people can see. So they can see what's going on. But, you know, there are those times that suck when they go in there to do that sit along and there's nothing going on.
Oh, yes.
That's always supposed to be good.
How about you, Jen? What was it like for you in the beginning?
I don't know that my first day necessarily was overwhelming. My sit-in.
Yeah.
And I sat with, at the time, one of the, like, hard-ass trainers. God
yeah.
love her. I wish she was still there. But she's all over the place, and they were busy and chaotic. They had a couple deaths that came in that day. And I remember calling my mom on the way home, and I was like, I don't think I can do this. Like, you should have been in there. It was mayhem. And then slowly you learned to love that mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's weird for the public to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, that you love the mayhem and stuff. But and it's just like my family members, and I've said it many times, but they would ask me, how's been work been going? And I would say, well, it's been kind of slow, you know, it's been kind of boring. And then they would say, isn't that a good thing? Because, you know, people don't need help. And I'd say, well, yeah, but my job is to help people, and I want to help them. I'm not wishing them harm.
Right.
But, you know, you've got that one stupid person who's got a fireworker in their ass or something, and they need to call 911. And that's when we're there to help them out. Exactly. What about your first calls? Do you remember your calls early on? Like, were there some that just, you're like, holy shit, is that...
My first 911 call was a CNI driver. So, I mean, we get those all the time. It's like, you know, I can do it, you know, no problem now. But back then, to me, even something like that was, you know, learning to take calls and stuff was a little nerve-wracking. But, but my first 911 call, or, well, I guess I was probably a year in before I took even my first desk call. Like, you know, it was a heavier set lady that was on the bed, and I was like, I need to get, I think I was afraid to use that, what's the word I'm looking for?
The pull on the floor.
Yes, the assertiveness, I guess. And that's something that I learned, you know, the trainers that Jen and I had were basically the same ones, I think. But they were, I just remember like hearing how they take calls, and I'm like, I want to be like that. Like, I was always the quiet, shy, like soft-spoken girl, you know, and now I'm like, where's she at now? What happened?
She is, it's like, rest in peace.
Yeah, and they always told us, you don't have to come crazy. We'll train you. Like, we'll teach you. And they did, and I love it now. Like, it's just the people that do come in and do the sit-ins, they see our dark humor and our twisted, you know, minds and stuff, and they're probably thinking, holy shit, you know, what am I getting myself into?
Yeah.
But it's so much fun. But, I mean, the family, I guess, the togetherness.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Whamley.
Whamley, work family.
You know, that's the first time I've heard it put that way is here, the Whamley.
And
I'm like, Whamley, what is that?
I'm adopting it, though. I like
work family.
I love it.
It's funny.
I
just remember that.
I don't think I remember my first 911 call. Like, at all. No.
I remember you telling me that Katie was like, Jen, answer the damn phone.
She did.
Because she was really apprehensive about answering 911.
Well, what happened was you go through three trainers. Well, we were in training.
Yeah.
You do a night shift and then you do the day shift. Well, I'd started on them, on my overnights, and then I went to days, and they pulled me off of them. Busier shift. Let's slow down a little bit. And then I go to Katie, who was the hard ass we mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to make her listen to this.
Oh, yeah. God bless her.
I didn't know if she knew I'd been pulled off phones for a little bit due to the busier environment. So she's like, hey, Jen, answer that. I was like, okay, but answer the damn phone. Yes, ma'am. I'm
nice.
On it.
Right? Better pick that damn phone up.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing?
I still don't remember what that was either, though. But
that's funny.
I do the mentality of once it's done, it's done.
Right.
Yeah.
I try not
to
dwell on them.
That's good.
I think out of all the calls I've taken that have, you know, stuck with me, the child calls are the ones that, you know, stay with me a lot longer, I think.
Right.
And, I mean, you kind of learn the disconnect a little bit because, you know, when that call's done, you have to answer that next phone call. Like,
right.
You know, regardless of what happened on the other end. And, you know, Ron will talk about how he had listened to a recording of mine. I had a lady call in, and her husband had a gun to his head, and he was threatening to shoot himself. And she was trying to talk him out of, you know, out of it, to put the gun down. And my heart was obviously racing because I was like, I'm about to hear a gunshot. Like, this is going to happen with how hysterical the situation was. So I was trying to calm her down. I was thinking, he's either going to kill himself or he's going to kill her. And it was heart wrenching, like hearing that chaos. But my very next phone call afterwards, like I hung up the phone like 30 seconds later, I'm answering a non-emergency call about a guy who didn't get his UPS package, you know? So it's like you go from one extreme to, you know, high to low. Just a huge roller coaster.
High to low, depending on that person, though, about their package. That might be a high as well.
Yeah, depending on what was in that package.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some of those calls that come in on non-emergency lines can be nuts. I remember taking a few suicidal people on a non-emergency line. And, you know, some of those, we didn't have a real cool 911 phone system. So when 911 came in, we would get the information on the screen. But when we got the admin calls, there was nothing there. We didn't have caller ID or none of that shit. So when we would get some of these calls, I remember one specifically, it was a suicidal caller, but they hung up.
Oh.
They said what they were going to do, and then they hung up.
And all you got is a phone.
Yeah. Well, and with that phone that we had, we didn't even have the phone number because for whatever reason, and we didn't know this until around that time, was that the people who had or who were working the phone system or that, you know, we ran it through, they didn't have the caller ID on there. And then when we finally made them put it on there, it would only stay up for the amount of time that the call was on there, and we couldn't retrieve it. And I thought, what the hell?
Right. That sucks.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it was really...
Thank God
really,
we came this far.
Right, yes. Well, and that was 2007, 2008.
So reality, not that long.
I started in 2011, so...
And that phone system had been there since, like, the early 90s. And I said, when are we going to get a new phone system? So I started there around 2005, 2006. And when I was getting ready to leave, just like 4 years ago... They were still talking about getting that new phone system.
Wow.
They finally did about a year and a half later. But holy crap, man. It really sucked. But yeah, I'm so glad the technology is a lot better. But, you know, even with it being better, though, technology is way ahead of 911.
Yes.
I mean, location accuracy-wise and everything, people are always saying, how come Uber and Pizza Hut and all these other places can find me and not 911? What I hate the most, though, is when there's a news story done on it and it's made to look like 911 is the problem.
Yeah.
That 911, can't find the people. But it's not 911.
No.
It's the carriers. The carriers are the ones. And who regulates that through the carriers? It's the FCC. So any of you who are listening that are with the general public, it's not 911's fault. It's,
we get blamed.
Yeah, exactly. And that sucks. That really does suck. Now, what about a call that has stuck with you? I know we were talking about some of the ones at the beginning, and you said an example of some, but is there a specific one for either of you that has stuck with you?
I have one.
Go ahead.
Really foggy night in the Kirby area. It's overnight, so it's like 3 in the morning. Guy calls in. There's a vehicle on the side of the road. It's been rolled over. He's crawling out of it. He's pulled on the other side of the road, and he's like, this guy's crawling out of his car, but he may need an ambulance or something. Send somebody to check. Not a problem. While on the phone, you hear just this screeching of tires, and my caller, like, gasps. Of course, your heart drops, like, oh, my God, what just happened?
Right.
So you ask him. The guy who made it out of the accident, rolled his vehicle, got hit by a semi.
Oh, jeez. What are the odds of that?
Really, though, to survive that first one. And then, so I think that, it still gives me chills talking about it.
Oh, man.
That's the one that stuck with me. I don't think I'll ever forget that one.
Those are nuts. It's to kind of piggyback off of that, the last week that I was in dispatch, it seemed like the dispatch gods were giving me every shit call.
Oh, I hate those.
Unmanageable, because it was bad. There were so many different calls that were coming in. And the last call that I got was a medical. And the medical was for, I had to do some Spanish translation. And out of all of my years in dispatch, I never did a translation medical. And it just happened to be the last call that I took.
Of course.
Yeah. And it was a guy having difficulty breathing and stuff. And I'm 100% Mexican, but my parents taught me English first.
Right.
Like, they're fluent, but I always say that mine's a little more broken than fixed.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, I can do enough to, you know, do some damage. I can hold up a conversation, but when it's an emergency and I'm trying to multitask everything and think about translating the language and stuff, oh my God, that one was freaking nuts. But it turned out that this guy, he was just really drunk off his ass and his friends were all passed out and stuff. It turned out not to be a huge medical the way it started out. Thank the Lord, but geez, man.
Well, I mean, drunks don't ever exaggerate or anything, so.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, not at all. Yeah, geez.
Recently, we had a call that I didn't take, and I wasn't even actually there for, but the plane crash that we had just not that long ago. When was that? A younger couple had just gotten married, and in November, and then December, it was December, it was right before Christmas, they were flying to Colorado from, I think, Kansas or wherever they live, to visit family. And he had just gotten his pilot's license. He wasn't supposed to be flying at night. He wasn't supposed to be flying in bad weather. It was nighttime and foggy, and their plane crashed, and neither one of them survived. But just hearing the stories from the responders and then the dispatchers that were on duty that night, just hearing it even carry over into the next day and then the next day and the next day. And, you know, we're all tight-knit. We talk, you know, at work, out of work, you know. So it just, and then their family sending in, you know, memorial card, thank you, you know, with their picture. This was them at their wedding.
And they're all, you know, EMTs and stuff.
Yeah, they're all, they oh, understand wow. our lifestyle. They, yeah. they, you know, 28-year EMTs, three of them in the family. And, you know, they were even, you know, wrote on there, we know how long a call can stick with you. And it's like, I didn't even take this call. I wasn't even here for it. And it's just, it's something that's still,
yeah,
like,
I agree.
Wow.
It's something that's still makes me want to cry, and if I think about it long enough, I will. But I mean, it was very, very nice of the family to think of us, because not a whole lot of people do, you know. I mean,
right, exactly. So that brings me to a question then: why is that? What do you think it is? In your opinions, coming from the chair, why do you think it is that dispatchers are left out? Because it's all over the place. There are, you know, companies that are doing stuff for first responders, in quotes, first responders. And I always retweet them and say, are dispatchers involved in this as well? Right. And a lot of them say no. And then I always have to tweet them back and say, well, check out this, you know, I'm 911 story. You know, they're the very first responders. And a lot of them have changed their tune, and they do it. But what is it? What do you think it is?
I didn't have an understanding of how 911 worked, you know, who was behind the scenes, where my call went. I mean, I don't know if maybe a lot of people don't understand what dispatch, because I didn't know really what dispatchers did before I started, you know. That's why I was like asking my friend Amy, I'm like, what do you do? You know, tell me all about it. And then I was like, okay, because before then, I'm like, I had never had to call 911. I think I did by accident once when I was a kid. But, yeah. you know, other than that, I had never had to place a 911 call. So I just didn't, I don't know if maybe people just don't know. I mean, that may not be it at all, but I didn't know anything about 911. So I would have never thought to think a dispatcher if I had to call 911, you know, before this. So
I think there's a lot of factors. The fact that you don't see us face-to-face, you only hear us on the phone.
Right.
And you call in a dire emergency most of the time. So at that time, we're just a person to get you help. We're not the help to them. You get the responders on scene, and they see them face to face and they're doing something, they can see, and think that makes a difference. But to not see us and to be in that panic state when they talk to us,
right?
I think we just kind of get, you know, the unseen heroes, as they say. So
yeah, that is that does go around a lot, the unseen heroes of public safety. But, you know, like I said yesterday, where would everybody else be if it wasn't for you answering the phone?
That's very true.
I don't know that I want to think it off.
No.
It's an interesting concept, huh?
It is.
You got these calls that would just be ringing and ringing and ringing. And
it's always nice because we hear a lot. Well, I've heard a lot lately. Agencies that we work with always say that they couldn't do our job.
Right.
You know, and I think that's their
that
way
is,
of appreciation.
Cool. Yeah.
It's really nice to hear that they say that, because I get callers that will, you know, before I hang up, you know, their house has been broken into 2 weeks ago or whatever, you know, and I'm sending an officer to them. They'll sit there and they'll say, thank you, we appreciate you, you know, thank you for all you do. There's people that will call in like that, but then there's people who don't give a damn.
That's true. That's right.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, for the two that are very grateful, there's four people that just don't care.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, what can you do? So you guys have been here for these few days at this conference and everything, and you've been to a bunch of different sessions. What has it been like for you? You know, have you been to this conference before?
This is my third conference since I have been with Stone County. My first one was in 2012. That was at Lake of the Ozarks. And then my second one was in 2016, Columbia. And then this is my third one here in St. Louis. And I haven't been to St. Louis since I was like 10 or 11. So it's really cool.
This is my first time in St. Louis.
And this is probably the coolest hotel I've ever been in. Like,
it's freaking awesome.
It's amazing. The light show. But I love getting to network with surrounding agencies, you know, people I talk to on the phone all the time, transfer call to, you know, whatnot. I'll be able to put a name with a face, and, you know, so it's nice to hear how they do things at their agency and how, you know, we compare stories and, you know.
See, and that kind of stuff is always good because, especially if they're the, you know, like you were saying, the surrounding agencies and stuff, and you've talked to them on the phone before, and then you finally get to see them face to face.
I have talked to you before.
Yeah, it's hearing that voice and then, I know who you are.
Yep.
I know who you are. Yep. We had a surrounding agency. I was in Allegan, and then just north was Ottawa County. And they, at that time, they had like five or six gents that worked there. So we would talk to them and say, which one is this? But they didn't. They would never give their names. They would just say, hey, Allegan, this is Ottawa. This is Ottawa. So then when we would call back, they'd say, well, who are you talking to? And I said, Ottawa?
We don't know.
I don't know. You guys would never give your name. So episode 6, actually, when Whitney was still my co-host during that time, we had two of their dispatchers on. And that was one of the questions we had to ask.
Yeah.
And we brought it up. We said, how come you never say who you are on the phone? And they said, what? I said, whenever we call you, say, hey, this is, you know, I'll say this is Ricardo with Allegan. And you'll say, oh, hey, this is Ottawa. Okay. And you always just say, you just always say that you're Ottawa. And they both said, we've never thought about that before. We do say that. So after that, when we would call them, they would say, hey, this is Ottawa. Or this is Jen. This is Jen with Ottawa. And it's like, which Jen? And then they, you know, give their last name. We're like, oh, all right.
Fix one problem right into another.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can say in 7 years I've been there, I'm the only Ashley, I think, that's ever worked there. I've never heard of another Ashley working there. So I'm like, cool. Because as common as Ashley is, I mean, you'd think you'd hear it everywhere.
Right. Yeah, well, me being over in Allegan, every time I would take like an alarm call or something, I would say Ricardo, but I would get, is Carlos there? Is Rodrigo there? What was the other one? Is Federico, or I don't know. It was a different name almost every time, and it was funny because I would pick up the phone and I would say, "This is Ricardo," and I'd say, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry, I said that wrong." I was like, "Oh hey, no, it's all good."
Trying to clear
that. Eye roll.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it though was my fault because I would say Ricardo, but I would say Allegan Central, this is Ricardo. So you can't really hear the R part. So they probably would only hear the Cardo, and they would. That's why they thought it was Carlos. But I don't know.
I have been June, and a couple other things that are close. But I've also been Jim.
Jim or Jim?
Jim.
Good
J-I-M.
Question, but I think J-I-M.
Yeah.
Like a Slim Jim.
I think I got called Haley one time, and I'm like, how do you get Haley from Ashley? Mandy has been called Sandy because she says Stone County Central, this Mandy, but I guess the S and the M kind of run together. So they're like, hi, Sandy, and she'll go and throw her arms up, and it's funny.
That's awesome.
I always laugh, and then after she gets off the phone, I'm like, hey, Sandy, are you hungry?
Tina. I had a caller once. Her name at the time was Tina. I thought it was just Tina. Talking, I apparently missed some of it. And
I think I was working with you when that happened.
So I'm talking to her, and I'm like, okay, Justina. And she's like, no, it's Justina. And I'm like, okay, Justina, I heard you. I get it. I know your name, whatever. And a little bit later, she's like, no, 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 stop. It is only Tina. My name is not Justina.
Yeah.
Just Tina.
It goes together, though, right?
And so I knew a girl named Justina.
I just keep saying it back to her, like, I get it. Okay.
You should have just went ahead and said only Tina. All right, only Tina. So I was just about to ask you something as you're taking a drink. I didn't want you to choke on it.
I got it.
But so what about you? What do you get out of conferences like this? And would you, either one of you, recommend other dispatchers coming to this conference?
Oh, absolutely. If you can ever come. The classes are always good.
Yeah.
There's almost always something that will benefit you. They do leadership. They do regular dispatch management. Anybody that can come, it's great.
Yeah.
But I think I'm with Ashley, actually, the networking. When we went out, Howl at the Moon.
Yes.
Sitting by a table that just happened to be one of our surrounding counties. Didn't even know it.
Nice.
I was over trying to take a picture of the sign that said Welcome 911, and it was like a neon, you know, sign that's lit up. So I was walking over, and I think I actually bumped into Chris.
Yeah.
He was like, excuse me, are you Ashley? And I'm like, yes. How did you know that? And he's like, I'm Chris from Barry County. I'm Jamie's friend. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, Jamie works for us, you know. And then we just, afterwards, we just sat there and talked.
Hit it off.
Yeah.
Now we meet up almost every night. And
we're friends on Facebook. Yeah. It's got to be Facebook official.
That's right.
Yes.
It's not official until it's Facebook official. But nice. I can say the classes, too, are really good. You always usually take something out of it. Like, all three conferences so far, there has been an active shooter class. Everyone is going to have something different in it. Or you're going to take away one thing from one class that you didn't get out of another, you know, so-and-so. So I feel like, you know, I could go to a million different active shooter classes and learn something new
every time.
Each time you go. So, and it's really cool to take back to our agency because we've been doing active shooter drills for Silver Dollar City with the opening season coming up. So
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you both very, very much for being on this episode. This
Thanks
was a lot of fun.
Us.
Thank you.
And for those listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @901podcast. You can like us on Facebook. There's a lot of stuff I got to say at the end. you can like us on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. And again, I have to thank the entire conference, Missouri APCO, Nina, all of you for giving me the opportunity to be here. It has been very humbling. I feel very blessed to be able to do what I'm doing and help tell dispatcher stories. And it's just been an amazing experience. I can't even say anything else. It's been amazing. So thank you all very much. And this episode, along with all the other episodes, can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.